This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck.
What?
I'm just a little scared.
Scared of what?
I'm just scared to talk about Morrissey.
Why are you scared to talk about... Yo, you think he's going to hear this?
Maybe.
Is it like a vegan thing?
Yeah. He definitely has a Google alert. I do.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I hope Morrissey hears this. Morrissey, my number is...
Don't...
Oh, I want him to call me and be like, excuse me, I heard you talking about me on your podcast, and I don't like it.
Wow, that's an incredible Morrissey.
Oh, thank you. This is going to be fun if you like that Morrissey.
Yeah. You sound just like him.
Mm.
And it wasn't racist.
Oh, wait, let me fix that. Hello, I heard you were an immigrant talking about me on the radio.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a punched up jam. Welcome to Punch Up the Jam.
My favorite one so far.
Oh, thank God. I'm Demi.
I'm Yael. What do we do?
What do we do on this here podcast here?
What's
well,
that?
We like to talk about songs. We like to review them, rewrite them, remix them a little, make them better.
Oh,
punch
yeah,
them up, if
baby.
You will.
Oh, that makes sense. That's the name of this podcast.
It is, in fact, the title of this podcast, Punch Up the Jam. Did we already do the name thing?
Punch Up the Jam?
No, our names.
We did. Do you want to do it again?
No.
He's Demi.
Do I have... Okay, you're Miel. She's Miel.
And we got one more.
Oh, we got a guest. You know him from Hood Adjacent. You know him from The Late Late Show, James Corden. You know him from his album James Dean Type. Please welcome Sean O'Connor.
Hi.
So
I just
patient.
I couldn't match the energy.
No, of
I had to let it go down.
You don't have to.
I respect it.
I want to say before we get into the song, I love your name for two reasons. One, your first name rhymes with your last name, and that
Sean
makes
O'Connor,
it very fun to say. Second of all, it fits perfectly to the Farmers Insurance jingle. Sean O'Connor.
I guess so.
I thought you were going with the second half, like Sean O'Connor, Sean O'Connor. I was like, oh.
That's way better.
Yeah, I like both.
You can just have that. That's
a
gift.
I just like that it's about me.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on the pod.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk about this fucking song.
It's going to be fun.
Why did you choose it?
Okay, well, there was a 6-year span of my life where I thought the Smiths were the greatest band of all time.
Yeah.
I've since, like, removed that part of my life, just not because I don't love the songs, I do, but because Morrissey's a piece of shit.
He's a bad man, it turns out.
Yeah, hard to love.
He really is. I mean, like, at first you're like, oh, this guy's great, he's gay, he loves gladiolas.
He's vegan. Yeah.
He's vegan to the point where if he's in a building, they have to remove all meat products.
I strive to be that extra.
He came to the Late Late Show, and I thought we were going to get, like, an email or something being like, hey, no meat today, and nothing happened, but...
Oh, I'm disappointed. Yeah.
That is disappointing.
Right?
Because, I mean, like, he
the
had...
The one thing he has going for him.
I think it was the Colbert Report. He had the whole building evacuated.
Jesus.
What about human meat? Like, us living, walking around.
No people. Wow.
Yeah, no... Well, he hates people.
Yeah.
But I
well,
loved him.
Non-white people, let's be specific.
Oh, he loves white people.
And Mexican people.
Oh, yes. Because they buy him his house.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Morrissey, get your shit together. Anyway, we can talk about him for 3 hours. Let's talk about this fucking song. This is The Smiths, a.k.a. every boy's favorite band for at least 6 years. You're not alone.
I know I'm not alone.
Let me be more specific. Every white boy from a middle-class upbringing in America.
If you were an emo kid, the Smiths were a perfect next step.
Yeah.
Well, they, like, I would say paved the way for emo, right?
Yeah. I mean, they inspired all the bands that hated women that I listened to in high school.
Yeah. I totally, an embarrassing revelation, I don't think I heard a single Smith song until this song was in 500 Days of Summer. In 2009.
Oh, wow.
I truly just had no... First of all, my only connection to music in general was just, like, top 40 stuff. And then, like, I branched out into being like, hey, some of these rock songs are pretty cool. And then, like, it was just music I picked up from places.
But you never heard, like, How Soon Is Now?
I don't think so. I mean...
It's like in every 90s movie.
I am the sun. I feel like I didn't see a lot of 90s movies, though.
You never saw The Craft?
No, he was anti-movie.
I have seen The Craft. I love The Craft.
You know how Zoon is now is in The Craft.
Oh, it's true.
Stiff as a board, light as a feather, baby. I love The Craft.
The Craft is great.
Fashion goals.
So good.
Anyways, it was recorded in 1985, but
the year I was born.
Really?
Oh my God, no wonder I like it.
That's what it is. It didn't come out, though, until 86. Sorry, Sean.
The year you were reborn as a Christian.
Late baptism. But I guess it didn't get released as a single until 1992, aka 5 years after the band had split up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the label being like, we gotta squeeze some money out of these boys.
Yeah, Morrissey Solo was a big hit. And they're like, this song, This is what kids want in the grunge era.
I mean, Suicide like had a moment. For sure.
Absolutely.
So maybe this had something to do with its resurgence.
1991 to 1994 is the Suicide era.
True. What was the movie about that again? Oh, The Virgin Suicides.
Virgin Suicides.
Oh, I was like 24-hour party people?
And Heathers. That was a big moment.
Oh, Heathers. Heathers had a moment. We could all agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a couple.
Was this your favorite Smith song, or was it like...
No, this is not my favorite Smith song, but I do love this song.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
It's so overly dramatic.
Oh, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, and I am a lot.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I liked it so much.
You see yourself in it.
I craved drama. Like, in high school, I would say that I was a... messy bitch who loved drama.
Yes.
And this song is the anthem for those types.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. If I could ever recover from this, I have a couple notes. I guess in early September, I don't know why I have the month. Ignore me. The band recorded a rehearsal tape of the song, performed in the key of F sharp minor. Why do I have a podcast? I can't talk. Then 4 days later, the group made a monitor mix in the key of C sharp minor. This time accompanied by a synthesized string arrangement. We will talk about that when we listen to it. It's my least favorite part of the song, but it's fine. And I guess it was created on Emu emulator.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
My best guess is it was a piece of tech at the time that was new.
Yeah, just like a synth, they put a digital version of whatever instruments they were supposed... In my head, I'm like, that's just a synth, but I guess
not.
Yeah,
I mean, it is basically, but when we listen to it, I'm just going to say it didn't stand the test of time.
Yeah.
I guess Morrissey was super cynical about using the synth strings.
Sounds right.
But the lack of budget to hire real strings, as well as the band's reluctance to allow outsiders into the recording process. They went with the synth strings.
An interesting thing about Smiths. Morrissey wasn't didn't really care about inventive use of musical instruments.
Really?
Johnny Marr was that guy.
The bassist, right?
The guitarist, who was his Lennon to Morrissey's McCartney.
Okay.
But I think actually Morrissey's the Lennon and Marr is the McCartney. Hey. I'm a McCartney stan.
In this house, we ship McCartney.
Yeah. Thank you. Finally, I'm home.
I'm a Ringo fan. I can't.
Oh,
can't.
Listen,
leave.
I fuck with Ringo.
Good.
Ringo's peace
good.
And love, peace and love.
I'm just not a Lennon guy, but that's just me. What can I say?
He's a bad guy.
He's a baddie.
He's a bad
guy. Not
dude.
In a good way.
He's a bad guy, and we should all go to his grave and just spit on it.
You guys, meet up in New York. We're all going to Lennon's grave. Spitting. Save that saliva. Okay. The song features an ascending F sharp minor A to B chord sequence that guitarist Johnny Marr, thank you for the intro, he took it from the Rolling Stones cover of Marvin Gaye's Hitchhike. Did you grab that by any chance?
I did.
So here's the sequence. Right?
Oh, yeah. That is lifted.
Latent.
So Marr said in 93 that he included it as an in-joke to determine if the music press would attribute the inspiration to the cover of the Marvin Gaye or... to what he contended was the original source, which is There She Goes Again by the Velvet Underground.
So they did this just to test the press?
Yeah. Although, reading my notes better now.
There she goes.
This is good. Just keep this playing.
Yeah.
I'm realizing now I think I got that backwards. I think he contended that the Velvet Underground stole the figure from Hitchhike.
Oh. Okay.
He had a whole conspiracy theory.
I can't steal. If someone else stole and I stole the thing that was stolen.
Yeah, you're just stealing it back. It's public use then.
Dude, you want to hear his quote? He said, I knew I was smarter than that. I was listening to what the Velvet Underground were listening to. And I'm kind of like, yeah, the Rolling Stones covering Marvin Gaye? It doesn't seem that underground, man.
Real hip.
Yeah. But it's interesting because I do feel like that the fucking Smith song is so predicated on that figure to find out that's not original is a little bit of a letdown to me.
And to me, it sounds like in the 90s when there would be like a big joke that ends a scene in a sitcom and they transition between to another scene.
Bam, 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 bam.
Where like, bam, 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 like hit bam, bam. A, say like a joke line that would end in like a...
Aww.
And now they're just in a different place.
That's really
hey,
good.
Hey, Stacy, what are you doing after school next week?
Staying away from you, Roger.
Aww.
This is the whole episode.
Yeah, I'd watch that show.
I would too.
It's like Boy Meets World.
Clarissa explains it all when the ladder slams onto the window.
Yeah.
But it's only that. No fucking brother in that story. Okay, last thing I'll say. Music journalist Simon Goddard argues in his book Songs That Saved Your Life. Mm-hmm. Ironic this song is in there. That the basic narrative is similar to the film Rebel Without a Cause.
Makes perfect sense.
Right, of
course.
That
feels very of the type of person that writes this song.
Well, apparently James Dean was an idol of Morrissey's.
Of Morrissey,
And I also feel like we got to mention your album.
James Dean type, because I'm a James Dean type. That's why. Morris, I'm an idol to Morrissey as well.
I've often heard him say that. Yeah, so I guess in that movie, which I have not seen, full disclosure, James Dean leaves his torturous home life being the passenger to a potential romantic partner. And in fact, a line from the movie, "It is not my home," is quoted in the song. So according to Goddard, an earlier version lacked some of the finished vision's ambiguity, culminating in the line, "There is a light in your eyes, and it never goes out."
Hmm.
I guess that's a reference from a quote from that movie, but I don't know. This is just one guy's conspiracy theory.
That clears up the two parts of this song where I'm just like, what are you talking about here? Just in the terms of like, what does he mean by it's not his home anymore? Why isn't it? And then the whole like, I know that he's referencing like, the light in your someone's eyes, but I didn't know why he was like, I'm gonna just forget that part.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I think we can blame James Dean for this.
Let's
go to his grave off that weird freeway next to Fresno and spit on it, baby.
Yeah. Let's spit on all graves.
Right. I am grave spitting tour t-shirts coming soon.
With that said, should we fucking crack into this?
I think we got to.
I'm so excited. Woo! Oh, there he is.
I hate how smooth his vocals are.
Oh, man.
Because I want to hate him.
Driving in your car. I never, never want to go home. Because I haven't got one anymore. Where to begin? Okay, musically, great, right?
Yeah, the song sounds awesome. Like, the band is tight.
The bass is amazing.
The bass, like, carries,
the
I
whole
feel
song.
Like, so many of their songs.
I know.
Is Johnny Marr the bassist or the...
Johnny Marr's the guitarist.
Right.
I believe...
Sean, you know.
There's someone named Mickey. There's a Mike.
Mike,
I think, is the bassist, and then Andy's the drummer, or I'm reversing those
Unfortunately,
two.
In the studio, we do not have internet.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
Ignore the Wi-Fi thing. I'm
Can't wait for those angry tweets. Okay, so the bass is fucking phenomenal, whoever may be playing it.
Yeah, I just know he really hates Morrissey now.
Oh, okay. Well, as he should, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I love... After that, bam, 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 wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and oh my God, but his voice is so good. It's just
I hate
like,
to admit it, but it is.
It's ironic that he's so known in the world as an asexual, but he's gay because he has come out recently.
Oh, yes?
But, yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, there was a big thing on an album in like 2007 where he came out and he said that his there's a powder keg between his legs and it's about to explode.
What's he talking about, like, coming?
I think he's talking about coming.
I'm going to fuck the entire West.
Are we to believe he had not come until that point?
I think he wanted you to think he did not come.
I haven't jerked off in 30 years.
Wait, so Morrissey, in a way, is kind of the king of edging?
Oh, no!
Got it! Didn't even have to try.
Yeah, you did. Proud of you.
Wow, okay, so he fucks now.
Yeah, he fucks now. But then, like, when you listen to that, he truly sounds like a Muppet who fucks.
He sounds like a lot of the Muppets.
A lot of the Muppets.
He sounds so horny. Maybe that's what makes his voice sound so good.
Exactly. Driving in your car.
It's like Kermit, but fucking.
It is.
Yeah, like Kermit who just, like, goes pounds.
Kermit jerks off every day.
He also sounds to me like an elegant Ray Romano.
Yes!
Take me out tonight.
But it's like, I don't know, it's so annoying, the tone, but then it's so nice at the same time. It's
I honestly
relaxing.
Think it's like the Britishness of him that somehow smooths it out.
Yeah. It does, yeah. I mean, it sounds inviting.
Yeah.
But you know that he just hate you.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't even talk to you.
No. No, he does not give a shit if you live or die.
Okay, you couldn't understand what he said. He said, take me out tonight where there's music and there's people and they're young and alive. Driving in your car. I never want to go home because I haven't got one anymore.
Yeah.
He's homeless.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I feel like just because whoever the song is about, you know, they feel like home.
Uh-huh.
His old home, his parents. Get out of here, pops.
I'm in
I
love.
Have a new home.
I'm asexual, but in love.
I'm in love with the idea of not coming.
My number one, ride or die, never come movement. Get into it.
Oh, we're going to have to sell never come shirts, aren't we?
No come member?
No come member.
Yeah, I mean, I really particularly like driving. He really like
driving.
As if is a sound in the word driving at any point. But there is something like captured here, although I think he was way too old for it. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he like mid-20s here?
Yeah, he was mid-20s. Yeah.
This to me sounds like something I would have deeply related to at 14.
Yeah, I mean, like
angst.
Yeah, the angstiness and like the almost the drive to die for love.
Yeah, even just the idea of like liking a drive.
Yeah.
I don't like that as an adult.
No, this sucks.
I'm like, oh, I love driving in your car. I'm like, no, I love being not in the car ever.
Right. I like being at home watching Abducted in Plain Sight.
Sitting on your couch.
Yeah, I mean, again, once I remember he was like a grown man singing this, it loses a little bit to me.
Yeah, but he was stunted.
Because he never came.
Yeah, he never came. He didn't have those experiences we had in high school. He's of coming.
Puberty just like stored up for... Yeah. I just like to imagine that when he came out, he's like, I'm about to release, and then his voice just dropped like an octave.
Oh, and he can't sing anymore.
Oh.
He like lost all its frogginess.
Yeah.
So he was like...
Driving in your car.
To transpose everything by a whole octave. Wow. Okay. What a way to start the song. I mean, so far it's like flirty, nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. You could listen to this with a loved one, a peer.
Yeah.
Yeah. In an elevator with Zooey Deschanel. Yeah.
If you want. Yes. Hypothetically.
Or like your parents and no one's going to say anything.
Yeah.
So far, road trip approved.
Yeah.
I, for the longest time, was just like, did not recognize this song. Another incredible, a crazy thought about this song. For the longest time, I just did not recognize it as a love song. It was just like, he's just getting in a car because he wants to get out of this house, and some fucking taxi guy is just having to deal with him being like, just drive me anywhere. I don't care.
I like that read. Let's track that.
Yeah, that's fun because I'm picturing him going to the airport. It's 5 in the morning and he's in the taxi.
He's like, I don't have a home anymore. Yeah. Just take me away, Uber driver.
It's like a super dramatic trip.
Yeah.
Like, he is coming back, but he's just like, I don't have a home.
Where we go?
going, boss. Anywhere you want.
I mean, I'm kind homeless. Of a good hack, though. Call an Uber with, like, your last remaining funds and then just never get out.
Yeah. Is that a hack? You think
hack.
It's like squatter's yeah. rights?
Yeah, big car. Time life hack. Move into an Uber.
I've been in this car for 30 days. I live here now. That's
Listen,
the law.
You challenge the driver to a duel. If you win, it's your car. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. You're going by, like, leprechaun rules here.
Uh-huh.
If I can trick you, this car is mine.
Uh-huh.
If you win, you get a shiny golden coin.
Uh-huh. I'm glad you've read the same novels I have.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Listen, I didn't create the bar exam.
The car exam.
Sorry, punch it up. Thank you. Let's get on to verse fucking two.
Okay.
Take me out tonight.
Ooh. Deborah.
Because I want to see people and I want to see life.
Relax.
Driving in your car. Oh, please don't drop me home.
The bass, man.
Because it's not my home, it's their home, and I'm welcome no more.
Sorry.
I was already doing the air guitar.
I know you were. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Hey.
Take me out tonight.
Tonight. So good. I am just so
I
impressed with
it.
Your Morrissey.
Thank you. It's the only impression I have.
I think it was the first impression I ever heard you do.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I got that Morrissey impression on the Late Late Show recently, and a friend of mine saw it and said, I'm glad to see your Kermit got better. A friend of mine from college.
You cracked your tears.
No, I loved it. I was like, oh, yeah, I did do a Kermit a lot.
They're in the same family.
They
for
are.
It's a sliding scale from Romano to Miss Piggy.
A lot of people don't know this, but the first time Morrissey finished, that's how Kermit got his nephew Robin. That's a fact. I read this long Smith's book.
Simon Goddard.
It was near like a pond.
I thought for sure that was gonna be. He said, "Hi ho,
waka waka."
Different character, but same family.
Again, sliding scale.
From Ray Romano to Fozzie Bear.
No, it goes all the way up to
Kermit.
Again, because Morrissey is famous live for going like.
Now we're getting into Lady Gaga territory. I think we need to step off.
Oh, I would kill to see Morrissey sing Shallow.
Oh, I would love it so much.
I can't even try it. Okay, he said, take me out tonight because I want to see people and I want to see life.
Right.
Is he imprisoned? Is he on Roomspringa?
He doesn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And like, truly, this is the first friend he has. I'm picturing, think of Perks of Being a Wallflower. He's that boy.
Okay.
He's with Emma Watson right now. And he's like, I'm young and I want to see people in life.
Uh-huh.
He's a guy who just watched like all that jazz and he's taking it to be his entire... He's like, I want to see life. I want to see where the people dance.
He's miming that he's smoking a cigarette and there's nothing there.
There's nothing there, but like they don't have the heart to tell him because he's already so fat.
He's so good at fake smoking.
Blasé. A lot of just, the people here are just so blasé. I want to see something vibrant, vivacious.
Take me to the city, the big ones.
I want to see the lights.
He doesn't know any of the names. I want to go to those big cities, the metropolis, the big town.
I want to go to the city. In the streets.
I want to see the apple, the old concrete, the sky.
The orange, the banana, the grapefruit.
Something windy, please.
That's what he says to the taxi driver. It's like, where are we going? It's like, take me somewhere windy, boys.
We are like a stone's throw away from actual dialogue from the film Seven. Then he says, driving in your car. Oh, please don't drop me home because it's not my home. It's their home and I'm welcome no more. Sounds like, now knowing that he's gay, like it sounds like maybe he's getting kicked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, he grew up Irish family.
Oh, is he Irish?
Yeah, he's...
Are we sure? I don't want to make this mistake again after Come On, Eileen.
Stephen Patrick Morrissey, he is Irish, but he has a song called Irish Blood, English Heart. He's very, very
traitor.
English.
Mm.
Very English. He is for Brexit.
Yeah.
That does not surprise me.
I feel like Morrissey just takes, like, stances where he's like, what do they think? Well, I'm against it. Just like anything.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is he's become a rich guy.
Yeah.
But
corrupts everybody.
I can't wait to be rich.
His whole thing when he started the Smiths was just to rebel against the punk scene. Because he loved the punk scene, but he wanted to, like, piss people off.
By being, like, sensitive?
So one of the original members of the Smiths was this huge drag queen in Manchester who would just, like, dance in a very short dress.
Oh, wow.
And, like, even the other Smiths were like, this is too much for us.
No!
And they kicked him out.
Oh, they're idiots. That sounds like it rules.
Yeah, it probably did rule.
Yeah.
But Johnny Marr was, like, 14 hanging out with a 21-year-old literally. Roddy named Morrissey.
God. I didn't know they had a big age difference.
Yeah, he's like considerably younger, but he was cool.
Well, like, he's also like kind of the brains behind the operation.
Yeah, he was the, and he also like was the clothier, like where he would dress
the
band.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, he invented the page boy haircut that Oasis like
co-opted.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe. I know, it's from knowing nothing about the Smiths, this is all very interesting to me.
Yeah, Johnny Marr rules. And he played guitar for Modest Mouse on their worst album.
Shut the fuck up,
Which album is that?
The one after the Float On album.
Oh, no, I liked that one. It had Dashboard.
Yeah, Dashboard's a good song. I saw them live just because Johnny Marr was in the band.
Oh, well, is that when they were super drunk all the time?
Super drunk, yeah. And Isaac Brock was mostly just singing out of a megaphone.
You're like, this isn't music. Yeah. You're not saying anything.
It's a snake oil church. Wait, so he's in a different band now, right?
Yeah, I think he's just solo now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because the Smiths will never reunite.
No, yeah. I saw something on the Wikipedia page where Morrissey and Johnny Marr were both like, it will literally never happen. It's not about money. It's a past my life. I don't see any reason to talk to them anymore.
I can't wait for us to get like that someday.
Oh, give us a week.
Guys, don't break up.
Again,
we will never reunite.
we're both going to get rich. We're going to stop caring about each other. Blood feud. Great. And then we'll get a season of Feud on FX.
Oh, that's a great idea. Ryan Murphy, television Morrissey.
Oh, really? Is that your take?
That's my take. I love Ryan Murphy, but I do think he's television Morrissey because he loves drama.
Ah.
Just like you. Yeah,
just
your
like
real
me.
Life, Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, I'm the Ryan Murphy Morrissey of my relationship with my wife and child.
Would you consider TNT the Morrissey channel then? Because they know drama.
They know drama. Yes, Morrissey is the TNT of human beings.
And drama of Entourage is the Morrissey of that crew.
He really is.
I've always said that.
Because one, he resents all of his friends.
Yes. Oh my God, I'm so glad we got here.
And two, he's older and pathetic.
Yep.
But can he sing like...
when he like takes those little hops up, I love it.
It's almost like a little yodely.
It's like he's yodeling, but it's also like they hit a speed bump in the car.
Driving.
It is. It's performative.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I'm part of this now. This is 4D. They should have added like the gentle road noise. Okay. Oh my God. And here we go. Fucking chorus. I'm so excited.
Get ready to whip, I guess.
Okay.
She hit it.
There's the strings.
Oh, I do not like that.
All right. So I remember vividly putting this song on mixtapes for like girls in high school. And I didn't marry a single one of them.
That's weird. That's strange.
It didn't work?
It didn't work.
It's
even
so
though,
romantic.
Even though it's like, these are the words that best describe how I feel about you.
They must have not gotten
really
the course.
Not really ever spoken. And yeah. I want to die with you.
Yeah. Here you go. I'm Sean. Here you go.
I think we took freshman biology together. I want to die with you.
Yeah. Seriously, let's get hit by a truck together.
It's fair. This is what I'm saying. Like, him being an adult really makes this feel weird. Because this is when I was 14. I was like, yes, yes, yes. And as an adult, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, I'm married with a child. And I've never been to my, like, looked at my wife and been like, you know
what?
Let's just die together.
Honey, what if you're just driving to like an 8:45 showing of The Favorite at the Grove and you're like, what if we just swerved into the other lane?
Yeah, I know I love Olivia Colman, but I just want to die right now before I even see this.
Wouldn't care. Be happy.
Also, like, you can even guarantee death with a car crash.
Not
what
at all.
What a risk.
The 10-ton truck, that would kill you.
Oh, I think.
Well, at what speed?
I mean,
Killing Speed. It says it's killing
both
of you.
Any mathematicians follow the show, yeah. Let us know.
Yeah, all do right. The equation.
I'm going
to
say,
how fast do they have to be going?
40 miles, no, 10, 35 miles per hour.
Yeah.
To kill.
Well, also, were they also in a 10-ton truck? We don't know.
Ooh. Yeah.
Maybe they are in a monster truck rally.
Yeah. Or maybe he was just hitchhiking because he can't go home.
Oh, right, because he actually is homeless.
Yeah, he's homeless now. He's following the rules of the road. He gets into, like, a truck driver's thing, and he's really loving it.
Yeah.
He's like, don't take me home. No. We are having a great time.
We're gonna fucking die on these streets.
And I hope we get hit by a matching truck and die together, my new friend.
My new friend.
So that was essentially my reading of it with the taxi shit. He's just in this car like, I didn't even care if we both got fucking killed right now. And I'm just like, this taxi guy's like, what?
Yeah,
what?
It's like, follow that car. Except it's like, crash into that car.
Crash into that ravine.
I have
I don't
a family.
A
I want to get
Please,
home to them.
Sir.
Well, it's heavenly for me, all right?
Also, like, God damn it. Okay, musically, the fucking fake strings here. I cannot stand.
I like them when they start soaring and then when they go do 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 like at the end.
They're like, hey! Like it burns my ears.
Something I never realized until you were giving off that fun fact sheet were they were fake strings. And now that I heard it,
so
I can't unhear it.
Yeah,
you've ruined it.
And it's so fun because like whoever's playing the bass, Jeffrey, Gregory, fucking Frank, I don't know. It's like making the whole song bop.
Yeah.
That bum bum, boop bop bop, boop bop bop. Like, it makes me want to dance so hard, and then those strings make me want to gouge my fucking ears out.
I do wish that the bass had been a little lower on this part.
Yeah.
We got, like, more guitar or something, though.
It is pretty high.
Yeah.
I, like, honestly, without the bass, can't totally tell you what this song sounds like.
No.
Like, if I tried to learn this on guitar, I'd be like, is this it? Is this what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, like, the bass is fucking tight.
We could do this with no instruments except bass and drums, and I think it would still be a good song. I think no matter what, taking those strings out, it's a better song.
Probably.
Andy Rourke was the bassist. Mike
oh,
Joyce
Mickey's
was the drummer.
Son.
Yeah,
okay.
I would have freaked out if anyone got mad at me.
I'm so glad we got a brief moment of Wi-Fi in the studio.
Yeah.
Phew. Now shut it off again.
To clarify, in case you miss those lyrics somehow, I don't know how you could, because this is the moment your dad goes, what is this?
Maybe you were slowly lulled into a sense of nirvana.
Or maybe you too want to kill yourself from listening to this. I don't know.
You're just like, I feel this. I feel
he
these
said,
lyrics.
And if a double-decker bus, okay, we get it, you're British, relax.
Yeah.
crashes
and if a lorry.
crashes into us, to die by your side is such a heavenly way to die. And if a 10-ton truck kills the both of us, to die by your side, well, the pleasure and the privilege is mine.
Okay, so I choose 10-ton
Yeah,
truck.
Was that like a choose your own adventure?
Yeah, I don't want to die from a double-decker
no.
bus.
Also, it's almost, both parties could die.
Yeah.
You're going to kill somebody else.
Yeah, but he doesn't care about them.
No. He doesn't care about the trauma inflicted. He's just like,
because I don't have a home anymore.
I'm homeless.
He's having a hard night.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like he wants to kill so many people because of his hard night. This is the opposite of It's a Wonderful Life. I'm going down. Everyone's going down with me.
Yeah, the thing is, in my head, I would be like, oh, no, the person I love is dying. He's just like, honestly, we both die right now.
Yeah.
Cool.
The other person's like, hey, man, my life's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Why did you make me drive you around?
Yeah, like, I've really done, like, a lot of, like, self-care this year.
Like, I've lost 10 pounds.
I've never been in a better place, and I don't want to die. I mean, like, I want to be with you.
He's like, nope, death.
Also, does this imply some kind of religious connotation? Because it's like, if you die, you did, right? Unless you're like, no, we're going to die together, and then what?
Well, I think he just means, like, the process of dying while being with the person he loves is cool, is, like, fine.
Do you think there's any world, realistically, that you could, like, Thelma and Louise it and not be just completely overcome by a primal response of, like, self-preservation? That you could just be like, baby, here's looking at you!
Oh,
and
not at
like,
all.
fuck, like, the whole time.
No.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no possible way. Like,
no.
I mean, I really don't want to die. It's, like, my number one drive in life.
Same.
Yeah.
If I had to list my list of fears, I would say death is near the top.
It's one of...
Then bees.
Yeah. Oh, God. No.
Bees, clowns, death, crowded parking lots.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
They're not great.
Yeah. I don't like enclosed parking lots. Those
freak
me out. I'm like, what if there's an earthquake?
Yeah.
But that goes back to death. They all go back to death.
Yeah.
Maybe he was right. Maybe he was onto something.
Yeah. Morrissey, genius.
He was 3008 and we're 2000 late.
I guess that's why he wants it to be like, look, if we get killed, not if you drive us astray, but if we get killed, cool. I don't want to die, but if we get killed, it's fine.
Also, yeah. So presumptuous, but like, the pleasure and privilege is mine.
Yeah.
Bitch, what? You can't claim that.
At your service. Here to die. Yeah.
But isn't that, like, maybe I just have issues with that expression, but it's like, the privilege is mine. It feels so possessive.
Well, yeah, I think he cannot put himself in other people's shoes. Yeah. That's like, yeah, so he's like, yeah, all I care about is if I'm happy. And if I'm happy, I'm dead. And you're dead next to me. And
why would he care if the other person was dead?
That's why it's like, if a double-decker bus killed me or like crashed into me, then it's like, oh, cool. But he's like, no, if we both die right now, fuck yeah.
Well, it's kind of that thing where like, when you die, like, one of my fears of death is like everyone living after me, talking shit about me, or not talking about me.
Being
a
forgotten.
Bigger fear.
I don't want to die.
So he wants this person to die so they can
die together.
Yeah.
He's like, if you die, no one's talking shit about me.
If I can't do it, no one can.
Yeah.
You know how much I whine.
It's like his version of clearing the internet browser in death. He's just like, look, if you die, there's no trace of me. I'm fine.
Yeah. I also feel like if this is a Romeo and Juliet situation, I mean, we don't know explicitly this is a love interest, but assuming it is, you take the poison, you just kind of like shoot yours over your shoulder and you're like, ah, me too, dying. Ah,
yeah.
Here we go. Oh no. Oh, I feel like you. I feel like just like you do right now. No.
Ah, that sucks. Let's close our eyes and wait for death.
Yeah. And then they die and you're like, cool. Don't have to deal with that fucking friend anymore. Okay, are we ready for fucking verse 3?
Take me out.
How do you go right back to this after saying that?
Take me anywhere, don't care, don't care, don't care.
Oh, I clipped that out alone because...
I don't care, I don't care,
I don't care.
He sounds like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you get in a fight with your dad and then he feels bad. He's like, hey, honey, do you want to go to Burger King? You're like, I don't care.
I don't care, I don't care, I don't care.
I don't care anymore.
It's also a weird thing to say because you feel like how affected he is as a human being.
Yeah.
That like... I have been there, and I don't want to just go anywhere. Like,
no, I want to go nowhere, yeah, specifically.
Exactly. Yeah. I like being at home, so he's like, I don't care where we go. Take me anywhere.
I just want to not be able to shower or lie down or have a moment to myself.
Yeah, I'll go to TGI Fridays. I will go to...
Applebee's.
Yeah. Chuck E.
Cheese. Fucking...
The mall food court.
Yeah, Fuddruckers. I'll
An
go
Apple
anywhere.
Store.
I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. We're going to Sprinkles.
But the cupcake ATM.
Take me to the Hot Topic. I don't care. Anywhere at the mall.
I just want to wait in a line.
Sprint store. Yankee Candle.
Auntie Anne's. Best Buy Mobile. I couldn't give a shit.
Oh, you know what? By the way, if we do pass a Nike store, I would love to get some new compression shorts.
And actually, now that I think about it, Bath and Body Works.
I'm out of moisturizer. Honestly, I wish he would, but like to be like, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, but I'm a little hungry.
Yeah. So, just a little bitey.
I don't care.
But if we pass a Taco Bell, can we stop?
Or he's like, no, not there.
You know this, he would be though.
Yeah.
He would be like, oh, I don't care where we go. Ooh, I don't really want pizza.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you didn't care.
No, I don't
care.
Well,
you know
what?
I just want a double-decker bus to kill the both of us.
It sounds like my mom, you know?
It's
fighting with your mother.
It's Lucille Bluth being like, they're so flamboyant, it just makes me want to set myself on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're like, hey, do you want me to pick you up tomorrow? And she's like, yes. Okay, called your bluff, I guess. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. Okay, sweetie.
I don't care.
Are you okay? Also, I don't care what you have to say.
Yeah, I don't
care. You're
give a
shit. So annoying. I'm sure you're fine.
Before we go on to the next part, let's take a quick ad break.
Oh, thank you.
We're back from our ad break.
I love money.
And I love insert brand here. You don't actually have to insert. Shout out to super producer Marissa.
Marissa, don't puke in the studio.
Don't puke in the studio.
Guys, Marissa has a migraine headache and she's producing anyway, and we're screaming in the microphone. So one like equals one pray.
Click to pray, all right?
Guys, hashtag pray for Marissa.
Hashtag pray for Marissa. If she died before this came out, this is...
Hey, Marissa, privilege and the pleasure is ours.
Yes. To die by your side, We loved it.
I'd love to watch you die, Marissa.
Whoa.
Like in a good way.
Yeah, in like a romantic way. We love you.
Love Romeo.
Invite us to the death. All right, next clip. And in the dark and underpass, these flutes. Thought, oh God, my chance has come at last. But then a
strange fear gripped me and I just couldn't ask. What?
They got Rusted Root in on this.
Yeah.
That fucking fake flute is the best part of the song.
Yeah, that is really good. It's that's like where they put their real stamp of the 1980s on it. Yeah, you know they were like on tour. They went to a music shop. One of them bought a flute. Yeah. And he's like, oh, we're going to use it. We are going to use it.
Dude, I spent $3 on this thing. I've been carrying it for weeks. We're putting it on the track. I'm not surprised they were banned for like 1 year.
I like to imagine them having a guy that plays it for live performances and he's just waiting the entire time until it's his time to shine. And he's like, ooh.
Better yet, he walks on stage to play and then keeps walking.
He doesn't stop walking. No. He walks on stage and walks right off the other side.
Yeah, no, he is just marching along as the flutist.
He gets his own bus.
Yeah. Own bus, one stage to the other side of the stage, out the door.
Back to the bus.
Yeah. He walks between venues, like, as soon as he gets off stage, he's like, well, time to walk to the next city. And he meets them right in time to go on stage.
And his rider is 10 pages. Wow. Okay, this lyrically really defies the rest of the song, and I don't understand it. Please help.
Yeah.
He said, in the darkened underpass, which makes me think they've stopped driving, I thought, oh, God, my chance has come at last. I'm to die?
Yeah.
To die?
I think my reading of it is my chance has come to tell this person how I feel about them. But then a strange fear gripped him and he just couldn't ask.
Ask what? Do you like me back?
I guess.
Do you want to die together? Can I live with you? I don't have a home anymore?
Hey, do you want to die?
I'm not really good with this. But could we die together?
When I was 14, I would have lost my shit. I would have lost. That truly would have been the most romantic thing I could have had.
You want to die with me? But I'm nobody.
Just slit my wrist and black my eyes. I'm so horny inside my heart.
I just want to bring you down so badly.
Stop! I'm gonna come!
No, not yet. Save it for marriage.
No, for 35 years down the
please,
line.
Please, yeah. He was like Sting before Sting, where Sting waits a while to come.
Yeah.
Morrissey just waited his whole life.
Sting is like a 10-hour sex guy, and he's like, I've been doing it. It's a long, lifelong process where I will have sex once, and it'll be outstanding.
The truth is, though, like, sex is horrible your first time.
Well,
bad premise.
That's because people don't save it up long enough.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're 70 and you're fucking, you already know.
Exactly. Oh. I mean, like, if you let it build up, you're just like a fire hose at that
point. It goes the other way. Yeah. It's like hunger. You wait long enough, you're not hungry anymore.
Yeah.
You wait long enough, you can take like 4 hours to come.
I like to imagine that there's a man who's like 65 who sees a house on fire and he's just like, well, I guess it's time.
Here we go.
And he starts jerking off and he's like, it's time for me to save these poor children with my seat.
And they're like, no, we're okay with burning to death. This is
Let
way
us
better.
Die.
Hey, no, hey, it's romantic. I'm going to die by someone's side here.
Yeah. We've been waiting for this, actually.
So, yeah, but it does feel like this is the first time, like, he doesn't reference what he's, like, talking about, so it just feels
still,
like a complete
We don't even
departure.
Know if it's a romantic interest.
Yeah.
I mean, based on the fact that most songs are love songs, I think we all assume it is.
Oh, yeah.
But this could easily be a friend, a family member, a taxi driver.
Yeah.
A Lyft driver,
I
an
thought
Uber
my,
driver.
My time has come to kill this taxi driver.
Yeah. I mean, it's 1985. He could just be like, oh, should we go see... Want to go see Back to the Future with me? He's freaking out about
he's
it.
He's like, sir, I'm working.
I'll pay the fare for the entire 2 hours you've lost.
Well, in that case, actually, I would do it. That's a pretty sweet gig.
That is a great... And where they're going, they do need roads.
Zing! That's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, guys! Okay, well, are we ready for verse four?
We are.
I don't see how this can get any more crazy. This song's so fucking nuts,
man.
Oh,
I think it's pretty crazy in this part, if you ask me.
Okay. Take me out tomorrow. The strings here. Oh, take me anywhere and I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. It's like a brown note. Why is this song not called Take Me Out Tonight?
I know. He starts everything. I don't... Because, like, Take Me Out Tonight sounds like a Wang Chung song.
I was going to say, is this after Eddie Money's Take Me Home Tonight?
Yeah.
Or before Franz Ferdinand's Take Me Out.
Or way after Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Yeah.
The classic. That's my Unpunchable Jam, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, sorry.
I do think this song is a sequel to Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Take Me Out to the Road, please.
It's him calling the taxi from the game just like... We lost.
Take me out. God. Take me anyway. I don't care. I don't care.
Your impression's getting better over the course of this episode.
Oh, thank God. Because when I was recording it earlier, I was just like, why do I feel like I'm just like getting froggy?
That is what he sounds like.
Take me anywhere. I don't care.
He sounds like he was bitten by a werefrog.
Yeah. He's a British Kermit. That's
British
all it is.
Werefrog in London, or Irish werefrog in London. That's the Morrissey movie.
Oh my God. He just said the same fucking thing he said in verse one, didn't he?
Well, he added one thing.
La-di-da.
Yeah, those aren't words, are they?
No. And I keep, like, I always, like, every time I hear this song, I'm like, is he just making up some sounds?
I haven't got one. La-di-da.
La-di-da.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is just making up sounds. Like, he's like, oh, if I put feeling into it, anything's
sure?
a word.
Yeah.
Are we sure he's not saying not at all?
Not at all.
I don't think. I wish you could see Sean's mouth.
Not at all.
I really like.
Your lips turned inside out.
I know. I'm ashamed.
I loved it.
It was so gorgeous.
I loved your Lord y'all.
Like, Lord y'all.
Maybe he's saying Lord y'all.
It
Lord,
sounds y'all. Like me to like load it on. That's what I've always heard it as, but that's nothing.
Uh-huh.
I haven't got one loaded on. That's nothing.
Condom.
But I haven't got to take me.
Because he puts condoms on before any hang.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case.
I don't want to have any feelings.
I just don't want to worry about it. In the, you know.
You know, because when you never come, those nocturnal emissions
that's
can come
true.
At any time.
Yeah,
you could accidentally.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cum diaper in a way.
Yes! I've always said that about condoms.
Cum baby.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, can you go put on that cum diaper?
When I used to go into places to buy them, I would always say, where do you keep your cum diapers?
Trojan, please. Yeah, or lambskin if you have it.
Where do you get you got those pee pee Pampers?
Do you piss in your condom?
No, they're Pampers for your pee-pee.
Yeah. Oh, my mistake, mistake.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Maybe it's because I have a pee-pee.
We all got pee-pees in here.
Yeah. Excuse you.
Yeah. Hey, you have a pee-pee. It's just different than our pee-pee.
Yeah, I mean, truly, we all have pee-pees.
Everyone's got a pee-pee, all right?
You know, I tried using a pee-pee diaper once, and it hurt a lot putting the tampon in my urethra. Disgusting. I'm so sorry about this.
My take on gender is that everyone's got a pee-pee.
Yeah.
You know?
You're 100% right.
That's right. Everyone pees. So why even bother looking at it past that, you know?
Those are actually...
We all just people.
Those are the pronouns I prefer.
Pee-pee
and pee-pee. Yeah.
I'm a part
of and
poo-poo.
Pee-pee?
Yeah, everyone's a pee-pee.
Everyday people, everyday pee-pee.
Is that an abbreviation for people?
Yeah, I think pee-pee is an abbreviation. It's now how we will say pee-pee.
People.
Yeah.
I want to live pee-pee. Like common pee-pee.
Yeah, my favorite Pulp song.
Yeah.
Everyday pee-pee.
Pee-pee or talking. Talking about pee-pee. I hate what we've done.
The pee-pee versus O.J. Simpson? Is
ooh,
that a thing?
Yes. Classic. And the pee-pee versus Larry Flint. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And my pee-pee versus the toilet gets everywhere. Seriously, under the lid. I don't even have a penis. I don't understand.
There's a tube system. A complicated...
Something. I think my stream's too strong, man.
Yeah.
Shah! It makes it... No, I'm
it's
stop.
Like
I'm
you
done.
Said, when you hold it back, you just...
Ah. Fire hose, man. It's every like I piss once a week.
They call it the Schlitterbahn, right?
Yeah, in Germany. There's a whole art. Okay, now we're back to the chorus.
What's this podcast?
I don't know. I've never known. Feel free to yell at us on Twitter. The chorus is the same.
Yeah.
Do you want to listen to it again?
I have it just clipped out with the rest of the song because I was like, I don't know, we like this. Let's just hear the
let's
end
just do
of it.
Let's write it out.
All right.
It's a double-decker bus, crashes into us. Tonight when we were sad, it's such a heavenly way to die. Under the 10-ton shark.
I want there to be harmonies.
This, like, yodeled moment here is, like, right here.
To die by your side.
Your side.
That's strings are so annoying.
They are. The flute's back.
The flute.
Oh, the flute's back.
He circled around the stage.
Yeah, there we go.
They like clapped long enough for him, and he's like, "All right, y'all want more?
Y'all want more flute?
Get Mark back out here." It makes me want to, like, move my arms robotically.
Yeah.
This is the best part of the song. This should be the whole song.
You know what this feels like to me is, I wish it was Christmas today.
Yeah!
It really does.
Like, that's how I feel like dancing right now, too.
Yeah, there's a good 45-degree rotation of the shoulders that's involuntary.
Oh, now, okay, if someone wants to sync this end of the song with the video of them performing I Wish It Was Christmas Today on SNL, mm-hmm. please.
It'll probably match up.
It has to.
100%. I mean, the flute alone is enough to make Jimmy Fallon's shoulders wiggle.
Yeah. It also is just, like, the melody that the flute is playing is so insane.
It sounds so much like Rusted Root.
It really does. It does sound like it's bleeding in from another studio.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of like that Tenacious D thing, Inward Singing. It's like, it's not like pretty at all.
Is that the beginning of my favorite Bastille song?
Yeah, Mark, the flutist gets around. Wow, I honestly think the flute bit makes the song like 30% better. I would not like the song as much without this.
No, the flute needs to be there. It's better than the fake strings by far.
Oh, the fake strings, like, take it down for me.
Yeah. I mean, the flute really is, like, I'm not even kidding, the best part.
I think it's to me, it's pretty tight between flute and bass, and then second place being Morrissey's vocal performance, just because it's fucking insane.
I think the flute keeps it from being just like any other rock song.
Yeah.
Just like, it's just so basic. Well, I mean, the strings, but like, just it gives it something where you're like, oh, huh.
My least favorite part goes, hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, why are you adding tremolo to that?
Yeah.
I can't say. It's like someone has the pitch shift on the side of the old keyboard. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a theremin.
Yeah, but like bad.
Yeah. Not at all cool.
Yeah, like a theremin.
Like a
the
song.
Cool instrument.
I mean,
I've always said. Change my theremin.
I can't.
I don't know.
Well, okay, also, this is the last part of the song, but also, this is just where he says the title, finally.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like, because it's just the title repeating and he hasn't said it before, it feels like that moment in a movie where they say the title and it's just so jarring.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's
Annihilation. I hear that fucking CSI intro in my head every time.
Same.
I want it to be in this song. That's the only edit we should have done to this song.
There is a light that never goes out.
That's the closest thing I had.
Close enough, baby. We got it. I could see Horatio put on his sunglasses.
Yeah.
It counts. This song is not good, in my opinion. However, I don't think it's a good song, objectively. However, extremely fun. And for that reason alone, listenable.
Yeah.
Have disclaimer being Morrissey aside, obviously, piece of shit. But this song's fucking insane.
Yeah.
This is an insane song to write, to listen to perform. It's an insane song.
It's an insane song. But what I will say is, if you are a teenager,
yes,
this song, you should definitely listen to it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's
a song that'll change your life.
It's Catcher in the Rye. It is truly that feeling where if you get it later in life,
mm-hmm.
it's ridiculous and it sucks. But if you're 14 years old, this song is for you because, hey, life's hard.
Yep. It's the quintessential pick for this podcast because it feels like a song that you grow out of.
Yes, you really do.
Yeah. But I still like it for nostalgic almost
I like
purposes.
It in, like, I love his voice and I love like the bass and the flute. But aside from that, I'm like, this is it's a fine song.
Yeah, I won't skip it when it comes on.
Sure,
It's not my favorite Smith song, but of course, love it.
What is your favorite Smith song?
My favorite Smith song is Ask.
I don't know.
It's wonderful. It's like, it was just a single. Super great. It's all about falling in love during the Cold War.
Of a song.
Does it have anything to do with the movie Cold War?
Nothing.
Weird.
It is weird. Although I think there is a book from the guy who wrote Let the Right One In about ghosts who are huge fans of Morrissey.
Oh,
ghost
okay.
motorcyclers.
This sounds like a fan fiction on Tumblr.
Yeah, and it's a real book. Never made into a movie like the Let the Right One In.
So if any publishers, then maybe ones that did that book, want any other crazy ideas, hit me up, punchofthejam@gmail.com.
You have any ideas? Give them a test.
Okay.
Give them a sample.
I want to do a pilot about a lady, but she's
Sorry, no.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's not how it works.
May I finish? May I finish?
Fine.
She's a dog.
Wait.
You ain't telling me that.
A lady dog?
Yeah, wait. And the title, are you ready? What a real bitch.
Love it.
Love it.
And it's a drama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's a doctor.
Dog turd.
Sorry, you misheard me. Dog turd.
Oh, she's a dog turd.
Yes.
Wait, she's a dog, that's a dog turd.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's an edgy drama.
I love it. An edging drama, you say?
It is. It's all about a dog turd that cannot come for medical reasons.
Close to the edge.
I have so many
drops. This is a radio show.
So, moving on to the punch-up.
Oh, if we must.
Demi clearly has the impression I wouldn't dare take this away from him.
Which is why, yes, I did that. But then I also was thinking, in terms of this song, I mean, we didn't really talk about it too much, but the "there is a light that never goes out" line
has nothing to do with the rest of this.
No, and it's like, I guess there's a light that I see in your eyes that never really goes out.
But if we died, that's the whole point.
Right. There is a light that I want to see die.
There is a light that I want to extinguish.
I've always, though, thought that the light that never goes out is their love for each other.
Oh,
maybe.
That so even if they die.
It's a metaphor.
If that's what a metaphor is.
Sean, no offense, but leave. Wow. Okay.
But the gem hasn't been punched up yet.
It's over. For you, Sean. You'll never work in this town again.
If it is about their love for each other, it is sort of weird that A, he suggests that he can't tell them something, or like, it's like his chance to come didn't come for some reason.
Wait, do you mean, I don't know, C-U-M?
No, like his chance to, like, whatever he wanted to do at the underpass.
Got it.
But also, it feels like this entire song is unrequited love.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But also a shade of murder.
A shade of
bit of homelessness?
Just a whisper of homelessness.
Yeah, like a sprig of homelessness. Uh-huh. Some murder.
Yeah.
Some suicide.
Yeah. And then a little bit of love.
And then a pinch of frog.
You mix it all up, and what do you get? A frog in love. Ladies
Is that
and gentlemen,
your pilot?
Muppets Reboot.
Coming this fall to ABC.
So what did you do, bud?
So I wanted to give the specific line of "there is a light that never goes out" some meaning.
Oh, yep, I'm on board.
And I also didn't want to take away the
aspect. Oh, why are you standing?
I'm standing because I'm doing it live, baby.
Oh, my God.
But I also didn't want to take away.
Why are you taking off your shirt?
Because I got to get into the Morrissey, the Maroon 5 of it all.
Demi, why are you putting on a condom under your pants?
Because I'm afraid it's going to make you come, it's going to make you come, and it's definitely going to make me come.
I can't wait.
Get ready to come. No.
Get ready to come, punchos. Here we go. Blast off.
Take me out tonight. Well, I called myself an Uber because I needed a ride. Riding in your car. No, I don't need to charge my phone, but check that blinking icon by the door. Take me out tonight. No, I don't want any water, just look forward and drive. Riding in your car. No, really, what the fuck is that light? How long has it been blinking? Is it new or was it blinking before? Oh, if this Toyota Prius skids into a bus, you know I'll sue right. Because I told you to check the light. And if a tent on truck kills the both of us, I hope I survive long enough to say I told you and die.
just go any route. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. Maybe your tires need some air. Just check. Oh, look, there's a mechanic there. You should ask if the Prius is in need of repair. Take me out tonight. Oh, just go any route. I don't care, I don't care. Stop asking me, I don't fucking give a shit. I'll rate you 5 stars if you pull over to check on the light. Wait, now I hear a scrape noise. What the fuck? Oh, you hear that scrape noise? Oh, if this 2012 Prius suddenly blows off, I hope I'm outside saying I told them to check the light. And if the engine core crashes through the floor to die by your side, what a shitty fucking end to my life. Oh, there is a light that never goes out. There is a light that never goes out. What's with the light that never goes out? Check the fucking light that never goes out. I don't like the light that never goes out. Fix your fucking car so the light will go out. You should really learn why the light won't go out. Check your Prius manual, the light should go out. Why Uber your car if the light won't go out? Do you even know why the light won't go out? My ride review will say your driving is whack. I'm also gonna mention that the light won't go out. Thank you.
I mean,
that was incredible. Thank you. It was amazing.
That was the best impression I've ever heard.
Thank you.
I can't believe how hard you nailed that.
It got, there were parts where I'm like, I shouldn't have done this live because I'm like, no, rest your throat.
Nope, it was perfect.
Thank
you. It was perfect.
It was perfect.
And honestly, you really did give a purpose for
Thank
the title
you.
Of
yes.
the song.
Thank
you really you. Did. And something so relatable.
Yeah.
How many times have you been in Uber or Lyft and you're looking and you're like, that's a check-in.
What's going on?
I don't think we should be driving
also,
here.
Also, it's what's happening in my car for like the last 2 years.
Oh, no.
And what's happened with your Yaris with that scrape sound.
Oh, sir.
Oh, my Prius used to have a scrape sound.
It's just part
sir.
Of it.
Yeah,
I cut it off. I cut off the bottom part.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
I just trimmed the fat.
Yeah.
I'm like, you...
Wheels! Who yeah. made them?
Oh, you didn't get a car cut?
Car Cuts, thanks for sponsoring this episode.
Oh, thanks to Car Cuts. We love you.
Demi, I'm blown away.
Thank you.
The stamina... I wish I had a lighter for you. I'm sorry I shined my phone's flashlight in your eyes.
That's great.
You sang and you danced.
Oh,
I sure
sang.
Did. I did a little bit of sway.
It was Morrissey. Yeah, I felt like I was watching Top of the Pop.
I wanted to sing with you, but I was like, I don't want to ruin SpongeBob.
It's thank you.
No, but it's inspired me deeply.
Well, thank you. Luckily, super producer Marissa here took a video of that, so we will post that to Twitter and Instagram. And also, I'll record like a studio version if you want to listen to it, and I'll put that on the Patreon.
Wow, you are so ambitious.
I'm not ambitious. I don't want other people to have to hear that separately if they pay.
Wow. Okay. I like this song now. I would like that version instead. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
You punched it up, and I like the punch up. See you later, Morrissey. There's a new sexual frog in my life.
It's me.
And this one does come.
I'm constantly coming.
Glad we put on those condoms. Punch it. Should we get to Unpunchable Dance?
Oh, we should.
You can't punch this.
Now, Sean, I told you what this is, right?
I think so.
Oh, my
great.
God. Demi forgets half the time.
No, I'm getting better. Okay, Sean, would you like to go first and tell us what your Unpunchable Jam for the episode is?
You did not tell me about Unpunchable Jams.
Okay.
Oh, God, okay.
So, wait, when you said I think so,
I
what
thought
were you thought
so.
We were talking
about? I don't remember.
You were being nice and going, uh-huh,
yes, I was being nice.
So, basically, this is just the part where we each pick a song that we think... We say unpunchable, which technically would mean like it's perfect, it can't be fixed.
Nah, it doesn't exist.
But really, just a song that you like and want to shout out.
Shout out.
Oh, okay.
Song you love.
Oh, a song I love.
Yes.
Oh, my
Not
God.
Not related to anything.
Give Him a Great Big Kiss by the Shangri-Las.
Ooh.
When I say I'm in love, you best believe I'm in love, L-U-V. Give
Big time upbeat girl group from the 1960s. They sing the song and then it's like, is he bad? And then they're like, good, bad, not evil.
Okay.
I like that it has attitude about love instead of being like attitude towards someone who's like trying to hit on them or like.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's just like, I like this person, yeah. But like, yeah, he's
fucking
like dangerous. And we're sexy. We're like from the Bronx in the 1960s.
It's wow. Like if Charlie's Angels were fucking.
Yeah. It's the song Survivor.
Yeah.
Written for Charlie's Angels.
Independent Ladies Part 1, you mean.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said Survivor.
Right. Okay,
or
my
independent
mistake.
Women.
Listen, if I may explain my mistake. The video
yes.
is shot on a tropical island where they're all wearing different assortments of camo.
Right.
Yes. And to me I thought of Jeff Probst's Survivor.
I'm yeah. sorry, Miel. It doesn't matter. I will be making fun of you for the rest of your life.
Fuck. Well,
yeah.
We had a good run.
Your face is so red, and you
know
are
what?
Sobbing right now.
I can't believe I made it till 30 to make my first mistake in life.
But what a mistake.
Yeah.
What a huge mistake. I'm out of the Bay High for life.
You were doing what Morrissey was doing with cum, but with mistakes.
Oh, and it didn't even shoot out like a fire hose.
It kind of did.
It fizzled like a fucking firecracker that doesn't go off.
Also, is that song even really written for the movie?
Lucy Liu.
Yeah,
can you handle
say,
this?
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. They do, yeah.
I'm switching songs again. They don't say Lucy Liu.
I was like, what?
That's my second favorite song that name drops Lucy Liu.
What? What's yours one?
Hey, yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Lucy Liu.
Y'all Beyoncé's and Lucy Liu's.
He chose good
and
references.
And Baby Dolls.
He was not dating that song at all.
No.
No.
It sounds no. perfect still.
Yeah. Beyoncé?
Yeah.
Even more recognizable
right.
at this
yeah.
point.
Lucy Liu had a great set it up moment.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, set it up's great. And her turn on difficult people, which
yeah.
like Andre 3000 was pumped about.
Yeah.
She directs also now. She directed Luke Cage, I think.
Lucy who? Am I right?
Lou. No. Lucy Liu.
Right, my bad.
Yeah.
Second mistake so quickly after my first.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, once you open the yeah. once you take the condom off, you just start spilling.
Yeah, this is a fire hose.
Tammy, what's your
Let's put that mistake
jam?
Condom back on. My Unpunchable Jam, you know, this is a song by the Smiths, so I wanted to pick a song by a different Smith.
Wait. Agent Smith. From The Matrix.
That's
his
right.
solo stuff.
Yeah. Big,
what's fun? Hugo Weaving's solo album. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all electronic music.
I get you, Neo.
It's just like...
I'm also Elrond.
I'm in all your favorite franchises.
Where my Red Skull's at, baby?
I will be back in the future series.
That's my impression of a tech, like the... What's that one song like?
Hey,
like that bass nectar song that was
nope.
big on the. Oh, everyone at home knows what I'm talking about right now.
I think my mistake condom fell off and slipped right onto you.
Oh, yeah, we gotta stop sharing condoms.
I'm just trying to reduce my plastic imprint.
I respect that.
What is your jam?
That's why I have a reusable condom that I bought in an Air One.
Stop! What is your jam?
I don't think I have one anymore. I wanted to pick a song by another Smith. Jaden Smith.
No.
Icon by Jaden Smith. Fucking great rap song.
What you call an icon living? Start a record label, Miss Fish just did it. Nylon, cover 5 minutes. Whoa, we are too hot in the business.
No, I know you think I'm joking. It's genuinely, it's like, it's not even like Will Smith, like corner. It's just like very good rap.
I've never heard this. Is this recent or is this?
It's from his album either last year or 2 years ago called Sire. And like, he just had...
Didn't he, like, change his name or something? It's his username on Instagram
so.
Now. I'm confused by it.
I think he changed it for that. It's like, maybe it's, like, his rap persona, but I don't know. I listened to the album, and I was like, the album's fine, but this song is just, like, the standout. It's so good. I've loved Jaden since the Get Down. I love him now.
Oh,
yeah, I
like Jaden's...
In the Pursuit of Happiness.
I liked his Karate Kid.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
Liked his work on It... Fuck. To just the two of us.
Yes. Oh my God.
I love his work in the beginning of Wild Wild West where he tells Will Smith to put the
hey,
song
Will.
On the album.
No. Wild Wild What? Wild Wild What?
Wild Wild What?
Is he the boy from Just the Two of Us or was that his older brother Trey?
Oh,
great question. It must have been Trey.
I think it's
Trey. He's too young.
He is because that song mentions CD-ROMs. And Jaden is not CD-ROM years old.
No. USB H. Yeah.
Wow, CD-ROM-COM, another project I'm trying to get greenlit.
CD-ROM-COM?
That's good.
I love it.
Thank you. It's about two CDs. That you can also...
Okay, you lost me.
Sorry, let me clarify. The money kind.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm back.
Back in. Very safe investments, guys. Sorry, Demi, I feel like I talked right over your Unpunchable Jam.
I mean, I said all I need to say. It's a...
The listener heard some.
Great
they
song.
They can decide for
it's,
themselves.
Yeah, I like Jaden's got some really... Like, he's good at rapping, but also the production on the song is so good. They've got great horns. It's just like a, not a trap song, but it's like
it trapped
it
you.
It did trap
fan.
Me. It indeed. But
I talked over you again. I'm sorry, man.
I don't care.
Is that why it's called trap music? Because it traps you?
Yeah. It just
emotionally.
It's like you hear it swinging and you're just like, damn, what is that? I'm going to go check under that box and the stick falls out.
The stick falls out. I was like, oh no, I'm trapped.
And Young Thug's like, we got him.
Oh no, I'm going to Fetty Wap's house.
I Fetty Wapped myself.
I'm like, hey, what's up? I got you.
Okay. My Unpunchable Jam. Well, since we mentioned the Velvet Underground briefly at the beginning, I was like, I want to do a song adjacent. And also, strangely, the vocal performance.
Song from... by adjacent.
By adjacent.
Adjacent.
I'm a Jason Mraz. Who wants to have a Miss Spaghetti?
So I'm choosing I'm Yours by Jason Mraz.
I'm Yours.
No, vocally, the performance a little bit reminds me of Morrissey, strangely. It's Nico's These Days.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, great song.
I don't do too much talking these days. These days I seem to think a lot about the things that I forgot to do.
In the same family of like, I have a pleasant voice, but I know I shouldn't be singing around people.
Yeah. Is that how she sounds on like all her songs? I feel like that's the big song I know of hers.
I don't know many of her songs. Okay. I know her. She was like a German model first and foremost, right?
Yeah. Like, I think she just had a look. Andy Warhol was like, you should be in the Velvet Underground.
And I will say, like, I do prefer the Jackson Browne version because he wrote the song when he was fucking like 16.
Yeah.
Which
well,
is
they were
insane.
Dating when he was like 16.
Wait, how old was Nico?
Oh, Nico was like 32 or 33.
What the fuck?
Yeah, she... Woody Allen got the idea from her.
He was like, that sounds like a pretty good thing you're doing.
Nope.
We are not advocating
Demi,
for
are
it.
Are you only good at problematic people impressions?
Whoa, hey, whoa. Yes.
Calm down. I feel
I've
too
got,
seen.
I've got a great Cosby. I just had to retire.
That's actually true. He's
I'm
not
working
kidding.
On a... Pretty good Brian Singer. I hope that all falls away.
You could talk in any voice and I'd believe it was Brian Singer.
Right. I've been doing a Brian Singer impression this entire episode.
Oh my God, it's like Brian Singer's right here. Because there's cocaine and 12-year-olds.
So much cocaine. I thought it snowed. Yeah, I like the Jackson Browne version, but specifically I only like the live arrangement. I don't like the recorded version as much. Like the kind of acoustic, like finger-picked one. I really
so
like that
you
version.
Prefer it to the Nico.
However, the Nico one, just for nostalgia purposes alone, I really, really like.
Yeah.
It just makes you, I mean, maybe like that's the Wes Anderson effect. I don't know. But you put it on and you're just like, I feel somewhere.
Hey, I don't want to say anything mean, but that's the whitest sentence you've ever said.
I just feel, I don't know, somewhere.
Maybe it's the Wes Anderson effect, but when I listen to Nico's These Days, I just feel somewhere.
Thank you. It's actually my Instagram bio.
Zach Braff is going to lift that from you.
Oh no, Zach, stop. He already stole my idea to raise $1 million on it. Kickstarter.
Yeah.
That was your idea?
It was. I've been saying for years I'm going to make $1 million on Kickstarter, and I have to make it over foot pictures. Sean, such a treat.
Thank you so much for coming.
Such a great time.
And being the encyclopedic information we needed for the Smiths.
We need to tell people things about music every so often.
Yeah, we should not be hosting this podcast.
No, you guys should be hosting this podcast. The night of the Oscars.
Oh!
You should host the
Oscars!
Let's do it! And we'll punch up all the songs.
And by the way, the Oscars is a party our friends throw, and they're all named Oscar.
Yeah.
And we do host that party, and we host it well. I make a great aperitif.
Only two people show up. Don't know too many Oscars nowadays.
Unfortunately. We do play Oscar the Grouch on TV the whole time, and he kind of counts as a third.
Yeah.
Where can people follow you online, Sean?
Oh, you can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd at Sean O'Conns.
I like your Letterboxd.
And the cons is with a Z, right?
With a Z. Yeah. Sean O'Conns with a Z. Because I made it in 2008 when I was 23 and I didn't have a care in the world.
I have stuck. I've stuck with Electro Lemon since I was 12. And
this
I just
whole time
not...
I thought it was Electrolmon.
A lot of people say they think it's Electrolmon. I'm just like, oh, what? How? Wow.
Yeah, I really
no.
Yeah, because
people have said that though.
That's crazy.
It's two non-words.
Electrolmon.
Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want people to know about?
Oh man, please no.
Little old me.
Oh no.
I couldn't possibly. Well, I will say, just as a shout out to Nothing. We saw you perform at Good Looks like, what, six, no, like 4 years ago?
It must have been 4 years
ago. Back when it was at that downtown venue.
Oh, yes.
And you told a story about your friend, I want to say shitting his pants in biology after eating a frog.
Yes,
it has stuck with me, too.
Oh, I remember now. A pig's intestine, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Not just any pig, a fetal pig that was in formaldehyde.
And he ate it.
He ate it.
I don't know if I've ever laughed so hard at a comedy show in my life. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. That was so nice. Please do more live shows so other people can hear this story.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. If you want to follow us, we're at Punch Up the Jam literally everywhere. And if you can't find us, you got a problem.
Yeah.
We also have pretty cool perks on our Patreon.
Yeah.
We maybe are going to post an official version of this.
Yes, we
will. But you can also download all the songs there. So you get like free music.
Yeah.
Maybe illegal, but it's behind
a
paywall.
We do a bonus episode and shit.
Every week, dude.
Every week.
It's actually kind of more fun because we don't have to, you know, like be on.
No.
I can just like fucking fart into a microphone for 30 minutes. I'm like, you paid for this. Hey.
Next week. Well, you just gave a spoiler. Okay.
It's a wet one.
I was not there. I said, do it alone.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, everybody.
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.